This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by iFixit. Introducing the all-new ProTech Toolkit to give you the compact and complete toolkit for all things DIY. For $5 off your purchase of $10 or more, go to iFixit.com/TWiT and enter the code KNOWHOW at checkout. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/knowhow and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit with their limited time offer. Today on Know How, it's the laptop you want, the headphones you want, the batteries you want, and the camera you want.
It's everything you want on Back to School Part 4.
Know-how, it's the Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Ballaser.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to take you through some of the fun things that we've been playing with, so you can take them home and play with them on your own. Brian, it's another back to school. The last one, actually.
It is the last back to school episode. It makes me wish I was back in school so I could take advantage of a few more of these things, but I am a student of life, so...
Indeed. And actually, that's why we're doing it now. I wanted to do back to school back in August.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that's when everyone goes back to school. And exactly. Then someone in the chat room actually mentioned, he said, wait a minute, you know what? Everyone does a back to school roundup before people actually go back to school, and then they end up buying things they don't actually need.
Right.
Why don't you do it after the year has started? Because then people can actually watch the episode and say, oh, that actually solves a problem I've had.
Right. Like, once you start getting into the thick of it and you're like, oh, I could really use a fast SSD or maybe some headphones.
Or a better laptop. Yeah, which is exactly what we're going to be showing you in today's episode. Brian, you've had a little bit of time to play with this little beautiful Fandango. I asked the folks at Acer, I said, look, I love my S7. What kind of new hotness do you have? Tell me a little bit about this.
So this is the Acer Spire S13, which stands for 13 inches. Mm. But it's been my daily driver for the last, oh, I'd say, 2 weeks or so. And my other main laptop is my MacBook Air. And this is luring me away. It's got the power and the lightness. But you know what? I made a little review with going over the specs, so maybe we should check that out.
Roll it.
When it comes to mobile computing, sometimes you need something that's light and fast. Introducing the Acer Aspire S will probably fill that niche for you. Quickly running through the specs, this is a 3-pound laptop that has a Core i7 running at 2.5 gigahertz, 8 gigabytes of RAM, a 512 gigabyte SSD, a 13.3-inch IPS LCD with a resolution of 1920 by 1080 that supports touch, and inside powering the graphics is an Intel HD Graphics 520. As far as ports, you get two USB 3 ports and one USB Type-C port. Also one HDMI and one full-sized SD card slot. All these specs bundled together come to a price point of $999. Now, with the specs out of the way, what's it like to use the Acer Aspire S? With its lightweight and compact form factor, it puts itself in direct competition with my personal everyday machine, the MacBook Air. And as for design, the Acer has a nice feel, and with the nano-imprinted surface, as Acer describes it, it adds enough grip to hold one-handed without fear of slipping out of your grasp. The gold metal hinge looks good, and more importantly, feels very sturdy, even when it's open to its impressive wide angle. The keyboard feels good with a nice amount of travel for a slim laptop. All the functions you need are in close proximity, and my only real complaint is that the backlighting across the keys isn't uniform. But really, that's my OCD nagging at me. The 1080 resolution screen is matte, which keeps glare away and decreases any unsightly fingerprints, which you will undoubtedly come across because this is a touch-capable laptop. The screen is snappy and responsive to touch, and I found myself using it more and more with Windows 10, especially in tablet mode for web browsing. For such a slim laptop, the speakers are pretty impressive. They will get quite loud and without a lot of distortion or sounding hollow. Inside the Aspire, the i7 processor matched with a 512GB SSD hard drive keep the laptop feeling very snappy and responsive. The question that needs to be answered, though, is how well does it game? Well, it will play Doom. Doom 2, to be exact. But I also put it through the paces with some newer games like Civ 5, Rocket League, and of course Minecraft, which it handled with no problem. I also did some light video editing, which it handled well, but during both the gaming and the editing, you could hear the little fan inside the Aspire desperately trying to cool it down. It's not loud, the fan, but it's also not silent either. It's loud enough to be heard by a significant other in bed if you're trying to conquer a civilization in the middle of the night, but not so loud that you'd ever notice it in a public setting like a coffee shop. While using the Aspire for watching YouTube videos or web browsing and a little bit of light gaming, it was more than capable of getting me 8 hours. If all I were doing was replying to emails and surfing the web, I probably could have squeezed out at least 13 hours. In the end, the Acer Aspire S13 is a powerful package in a small form factor. With its exceptional battery life, it'll keep any cross-country commuter happy, and with the ability for some light gaming, keep any student procrastinating from doing their homework.
For a sub-$1,000 Ultrabook, that's actually really, really good.
Yeah, yeah, no, and it handled everything I did really well, and one of the things that I liked a lot about it, too, is that if you ever did need to take it apart to get access to it for any reason, it's just Phillips screws, no proprietary
screws.
Right. I
do like
set.
That. Yeah. That's actually the same thing with the S7, which, by the way, I mean, if you look at the S13 and the S7, you know, obviously they're
very similar.
They're very similar. This is a little bit thinner. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit lighter. The top panel is Gorilla Glass instead of the polycarb that you got over there. This has a bit more aluminum in it. This is designed to be sort of the more executive side of their Ultrabook line.
Right.
That's still very good, but more student oriented.
Yeah, and I would feel safer taking this to like a classroom or like walking around all day with this. Whereas like with this is it feels a little bit more delicate. Nope. You know? And then the fingerprints are crazy on the glass.
Well,
on the back
that's the thing. I mean, thankfully they used white.
Yeah.
So they have a white backing here, so the fingerprints don't show up. But if this was a black backing, like, I don't know, Josh's jet black iPhone,
exactly.
It would be a fingerprint magnet.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of my favorite parts, though, is the texture that it has on the top of the laptop. Is that I'm used to carrying my MacBook Air kind of like this around the office.
Right.
And it's slippery, that aluminum slippery. This, like, super solid. I could just walk around like this all day.
And I'm not sure if people could see in the video, but it's like a divoted surface.
I mean, I had to get really close with the camera. You're not going to get it on this camera, I don't think.
It's too white. No. No.
Yeah.
It's too blown out. But
there's little ridges that you can't tell from far away, but when you're holding it, it gives it a nice grip to it.
And it's got that beautiful 13.3-inch screen that's touch capable. It's Intel Core i7. It's what? It's 8 gigabytes of memory and that half a terabyte worth of SSD storage.
Yeah, so it's snappy.
It is snappy. And also, I think they did the same trick with that they did with this, where the 512 gigabyte is actually two 256 gig. That are run in a performance RAID, which just jacks up the transfer rate.
So yeah, I think this is a great like student laptop. This would be something I'd take to class every day. And I've been taking it to work every day.
Every day.
And I'm probably going to hang on to it for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is how we roll here. We don't like doing the whole, well, we're going to send you this product for a week. Please review it and send it back. You know, every time we've worked with a vendor, we've said, look, when you send it to us, we're going to hold on to it for a while. Because we want to know, I mean, its specs are great. But if the thing breaks after 6 weeks, we want to be able to tell people, hey, don't get this because it looks beautiful, but it breaks.
Right. And I have to like force myself sometimes to use it as this is my daily driver. Like I will leave my other laptop at home. And so I know like the pitfalls as I go through the week of like, oh, you know, like the battery life wasn't that great because all I was doing was watching videos and stuff. But the nice thing about this was I think I charged it once 1 week. And then I started playing games on it, and I had to charge it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But when I was just doing emails and just doing, like, the rundown for know-how, I plugged it in once on Sunday, and then I think I plugged it in again, like, the following Saturday.
Well, I've got two of these S7s, and one of them is only used for, like, know-how and Twiad. And I basically charge that once a week when it's at the desk. Yeah. So during the episode, it gets charged, and then it gets put back into a bag, and it comes out the next week. It is fine. It's still like 97% charged. So yeah, it's power frugal.
Yes, definitely. Games and video editing are really what kill batteries. But even with that, I was still getting like 8 hours.
There you go. If you are looking for a back-to-school Ultrabook, that's actually a really, really good call. In fact, I've got an Acer Spectre, which is HP Spectre, which is sort of their answer to the S7. I didn't like that one.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff about it. A review is coming, but I wasn't a big fan.
I've used the Dell XPS 13 too for
those
a while, and those,
yeah,
are nice,
those are
nice too.
Are nice.
But kind of leaning towards this one a little bit more.
Well, how about this? After the break, we need to talk a little bit about your power. You can't do anything without the amount of power that you need for all your gadgets and gizmos. We've got a couple of power packs. This is sort of an obligatory back to school thing because you know, you need something in your backpack that you can charge up, top off of from throughout the day. We've got two choices, including one that's off the grid. Yeah, we're talking about solar. But before we get there, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank a sponsor of Know How. Now, Brian, you and I, we kind of made a career out of taking things apart.
Yeah.
Sometimes breaking them, sometimes making them better, putting them back together.
I would say sometimes putting them back together.
Sometimes.
Depends, yeah.
I'd say, you know, we're above 50%. More times than not, we can put it back together with some semblance of function.
Yes. It's much easier to take something apart, I've found.
Yes.
But it's a lot easier to put something back together if you have repair guides and the proper toolkit.
Which is why we're very happy to have iFixit as a sponsor of Arkitas, our know-it-alls. Now, iFixit isn't just the best set of tools that we've ever used. It's not just a collection of the bits and pieces we need to repair our gadgets. It's not just a collection of thousands and thousands of step-by-step repair guides. It's also a community of geeks, people who like to make, who like to DIY, who like to fix things themselves. Today, we're talking about their all-new ProTech Toolkit. It's a fantastic way for you to get all of the bits and pieces, all of the little tools that you need to do your DIY job. Now, this is gorgeous. It's completely reimagined, but just as rugged and portable as before. It's easier to use. The tools are easier to access. It includes a new 64-bit driver kit, which replaced the old 54-bit driver kit. More durable case is engineered without hinges or latches to break. Instead, it uses magnets. That's how the bit case is held to the roll. That's how the tools are held to the roll. And because the bits are angled, it means it's easier to get them in and out so you never lose them again. Now, more bits means fewer repair roadblocks. It means easier to use, longer lasting, and of course, cooler. They've also got a newly redesigned swivel top precision driver and a flex extension for hard-to-reach screws. They've got precision ESD-safe tweezers, including a pair of reverse tweezers, a wider variety of plastic opening tools and picks to safely work on tablets and smartphones, suction cup for display assembly removal, metal spudger, and iFixit's own rubber-handed Jimmy Pry tool so you can open up your cases without destroying them. They've also got an ESD safety strap to make sure that you don't destroy the gadget that you're working on with a static discharge. And the best part is that everything is backed by iFixit's lifetime warranty and also the fact that even if you don't buy this, even if you don't get their kit parts and their tools, they're going to give you 21,000 free step-by-step repair guides and more than 80,000 solutions completely for free. It's all part of the iFixit community. So grab yourself an all-new ProTech Toolkit and get going on your next fix, hack, or build. Just head over to iFixit.com/twit and use the code KNOWHOW at checkout to save $5 on your purchase of $10 or more. And we thank iFixit for their support of Know How. Okay, Brian, tell me if you've heard this one before. I'm moving through the day, doing my thing. You know, I got my phone, I'm checking my email throughout the day, checking Twitter, posting things up because, you know, I need a corgi pick every now and then.
Definitely.
And my battery starts to die.
Yeah, I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Start having the what is it? It's fear of battery loss or something. It's not FOMO, but
FOPO, fear of power off.
Something like that.
And you know, there are a couple of things you can do. Most of our laptops today have a USB port that will actually work even if the laptop is off, so you can charge off of that. But now you're sucking away power from your laptop. Not always a good thing.
No, not always.
You could be one of these people who finds that one power outlet that's somewhere near a classroom, and you know, get 15 quick minutes of power, which might give you 5-10%, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, depending on your device, if you have quick charging, and then you don't always want to be that person who's sitting out in the middle
of
the hall.
Don't be that guy.
Well, like, everyone has to step over you. Yeah.
Now, how about this? What instead of doing that, I give you a power pack that not only has its own adapter, so you don't need any other dongles to go with it, but can give you about, a couple thousand milliamp hour of battery capacity.
Ah, I want to see it.
And that's why I brought it right here. This is called the MyCharge Hub Max. Now, that's an inelegant name for what is actually a pretty decent unit for charging your devices. Let's see if I can get this out without destroying the packaging completely.
Yeah, it looks like you already have.
Nope. This is one of those things that they designed, so it's like, no, you're not. Ah. The problem is there's magnets in the bottom here, so it like holds the battery in.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so this is what it looks like. I do kind of like the design. It's an all-aluminum case.
Ooh, shiny.
It's shiny and more than a little bit sexy. But here's the cool part. It's got its charge cables built in. So it's got one for micro USB. It's got one for lightning. It's got a handy-dandy little charge indicator right here, so you know exactly how much power is left in your battery.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has, for those people who maybe have a weird cable or want to charge three devices at the same time, it's also got a standard USB plug here.
Nice.
This will do 12 amp hours of power. That's 12,000 milliamp hour in this one little case.
Very nice.
And I love this. Anytime I see this, the electrical adapter is built in. So if I need to plug it into an AC system, and this will work international, by the way. So if you're going overseas, this is also good.
So you just plug it like an adapter and then plug that into.
Plug this in as the adapter, plug this part into the phones, and not only will it charge the devices, but it'll also charge the battery as it charges.
That's nifty. I like that. I could have used that on our trip to IFA.
Look at that. Look, see? And again, lightning and micro USB. Now, this does 3.4 amps of shared output. So this will give you that high power, the fast charging. You could do 2.1 amps. You could do split it between the three of them and do, you know, one and some amps per charge, per outlet. I am much more going to this format because I've got batteries that are this size and this weight alone that don't have anything like the integrated cables or the integrated AC adapter.
I like that.
That weigh about the same and they have the same capacity.
You know what? So I kind of learned that lesson on our trip to IFA too. I bought like a 22,000 milliamp battery because I was like, I don't ever want to run out of power. And then I ended up leaving it at the hotel room because it was so heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it was fine for the plane flight because I would just hook it into my backpack but on the ground. But then, like, when you're walking around all day, it's like a lead bar. Like,
it really
something
is.
Of this size and this weight. You could just throw this in your back pocket or in your jacket.
The person who sent this to me, the PR person, must have been watching some of my other shows because this hits all the little complaints that I've had about charging power packs in the past. The first is that either they're too heavy, like that Energizer. I have a big Energizer with 18 million watt hours or whatever it's going to be. But the thing is heavy. I mean, it's designed to charge laptops. So I'm not going to carry it with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I also have little teeny tiny power packs that won't actually charge up my phone to full.
Yeah.
Those aren't much good to me either.
Yeah.
If I have to carry an adapter in addition to the battery so I could charge the battery when I'm on the road, already I'm
that's
I'm
just
not
another
liking.
Thing that you will lose.
Precisely.
Because I've had those battery packs that you plug in special cables and stuff for them, and then that's like the first thing that disappears. Or I packed everything and I open up my suitcase, I'm like, yep, I forgot the power cable for charging this battery.
And speaking of power cables, that's the other thing. I have sometimes brought the battery pack, but I leave like the phone charging cable back in the hotel room.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can't do that with this. I mean, it's actually integrated into the unit and it tucks away really nicely. I've used a couple of MyCharge's devices in the past, and they've been really, really good. Way higher quality than I expected. So I'm kind of excited to see how this is going to do in Rome. I'm going to be taking this to World Maker Faire. This is going to be my primary charging pack.
Cool.
I want to know if I can just bring that and no other USB charging accessories, if this will charge up like the 16 pieces of gear that travel with
me. Well, there's only one way to find out, and it's to test it.
This is what we do on Know How. We sacrifice our comfortability so that you know what you should buy.
Yeah, Padre might not be able to look at all those corgi pictures on Twitter.
Aww.
Yeah,
corgi butt. Actually, what we were into the other night was corgi racing.
Yeah, the Corgi Heat. They run on the horse track from one side to the other. Yeah.
They're trying so hard.
The slow motion is the best on those because they're probably like a few inches over the ground.
They really do gallop, though. I mean, it's like vroom, full on. And we actually watched one tumble.
Well, yeah.
But okay, this is not Corgi show.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. This is nice. But what if you wanted something that was a bit more rugged? What if you wanted something that you could, double duty as an apocalypse preparation device?
It would go in my zombie kit.
This is in your zombie kit.
Okay.
This is from a company I'd never heard about before, but they wanted to send this to us so that we could try it out. Actually, ooh. I could try it out during my travels in Rome. This is called the Ultimate Solar Charger. It's from Secure, S-E-C-U-R. This is their SP6000, and the SP stands for solar panel. So the whole idea is this is a battery pack, a 10,000 milliamp hour battery pack, but inside they've tucked away 2 6-watt high efficiency solar panels.
So wow.
This will generate a total of 12 watts at 24% efficiency, which is actually pretty, it's actually very good for a portable ruggedized solar panel.
So how long would it take to charge the battery if you're just doing solar?
Very good question. That's one of those things that a lot of the these companies who do similar products don't like to list because then people realize it's useless.
Right.
This will actually charge the internal 10,000 milliamp hour battery, so almost as much power as this MyCharge, in about 7 hours of direct sunlight.
Wow. So, yeah, you could just leave it out.
Could. Yeah.
Yeah, you could just leave it out during the day and then use it at night. That's awesome.
Now, they've done a couple of extra cool things about this. The first is that this is ruggedized. So this is designed to be, you know, like in a knapsack or a camping backpack. And it's, you know, it'll flex a little bit without cracking. So they understand that if you're buying something like this, it's not going to be at home on a desk. It's going to be bouncing around in the back of your trunk or a backpack.
No, this seems like something you would take out on a hiking trip if you're going to do photography at night or something like that, and you wanted to make sure you had enough battery while you're out there.
Right. And like a lot of the other kits, this is designed so that you set this thing up, you let it charge the internal battery, and then you've got a 10,000 milliamp hour battery to charge whatever you want.
Yeah.
But they've done a couple of other things that I really like. This little pouch at the top, this is actually a waterproof pouch.
Oh.
So the whole idea is you put your phone in here. You've got two USB charging ports here that can give you a dual 2.4 amp charging port. So you could fast charge two devices at the same time.
Cool.
It's got a handy dandy little power button here at the top, which will let you know how much juice you've got in there. But once you put your phone in, assuming your phone actually fits.
Hey, that's the Nexus 6P, so if it fits
pretty
that,
big.
It'll fit just
about
anything.
This is now a waterproof or water-resistant, I mean, don't submerge it,
pack
so that you could have this out and not worry about destroying your phone.
I like that.
They've also done this. This I really like. I've used solar chargers in the past where I've, like, you have to prop them up on rocks because it's not flat. You kind of want an angle towards the sun. In this case, what they have, once you open this up, the back has a drawstring. So you can set the angle and then use this to kickstand your solar panel.
That's smart. I like that.
So now I'm just taking in the waves.
I was wondering what that was. I was like, do you kind of tie that to your backpack?
Yeah, this is actually ingenious. I love that idea. They could have done a rigid stand, and the rigid stand would be broken in a matter of hours of using this thing. But this is, this is indestructible. It's fabric. It's just stiffened fabric. And then they use this nice little lanyard so that you can set the angle that you want. I mean, you can go all the way down like that. You can go up in case you've got a really sharp angle to the sun. This was a very well thought out product. I don't normally see that. Most of the time, we slapped a solar panel on a battery, and now it's ruggedized, ready to go. This is it looks like they did the engineering time to make sure they would give you a product you would actually use outdoors.
Yeah, and this material, I think I've seen motorcycle jackets made out of this same stuff. Like, this is strong.
It's a multi-layer. It has, like, ripstop nylon on it so that it's not going to be tearing apart even under load. And they give you these little eyelets. This, I didn't realize this until someone pointed this out to me. Like, on the travel backpacks I have.
Oh, you could put it on the back of your backpack.
Yeah, you just clip it onto the back so you're charging as you hike.
Oh, I like that idea.
Seriously, that's cool. So many well-thought-out details.
Nice.
I love to see that in a product.
Yeah, and those are the things that you don't notice until you're, like, out in the field trying to use it.
And then you're like, this is garbage because, I need to be still in order for it to work, and I'm hiking.
Oh, that's cool. I like it. I'd totally take that camping.
And not bad. So for the MyCharge, you're talking about, what, this was $120 or so. It's a little pricier as far as power packs are concerned. But again, you get a whole lot for it. This one, the Secure, the ultimate solar charger thingy unit that they have, the SP6000.
Ah.
This is going to go for under $100.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah. Cool. And actually, we've got links for the first one. You can find the MyCharge HubMax on Amazon. There are multiple models, so you can choose the capacity. I think these, you could actually get one for like $60, but I would recommend you shy away from that one. Because get one with a little higher capacity.
Yeah, get at least 12,000.
All right. The Secure SP6000, we've got a link for this one too. This is brand new, so it hasn't made it over to Amazon yet. But again, you can find this for under $100. I'm very much looking forward to trying both of these out in the actual field.
So when you're in Rome, are you just going to put it in a windowsill or something?
No.
Hike around?
So there's part of the assignment in Rome that actually has me traveling.
So you have to go to like a monastery or something?
I don't know. I literally would be in a place where I'm not sure I'm going to have power.
So you got to be prepared.
Yeah. I got to keep it tight.
Get it right.
Get it right. That's how we work it. I actually do want to show one more thing.
What?
Maybe an unboxing?
An unboxing.
Maybe a first look?
All right.
How about if I had a camera that's not available yet to the rest of the world that we have a prototype of?
A prototype?
That we could share with the know-how audience.
Yes.
Let's do that.
I want to see that.
Okay. This is called the Lifey Eye. Now, the whole idea is, oh, by the way, yeah.
No, prototype. Really,
it's prototype. I asked them to get one of these to me as fast as possible, and they really did. They actually sent me a prototype, which...
Where did you even first hear about this?
I first heard about this even before IFA, and they were actually at IFA.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting device. The whole idea is to have an affordable 360 camera that worked on your phone.
That would be awesome.
Okay, let's do that. Let's take a look at what's inside. Now, this... of course, is designed to hook into like a USB port, OTG basically. And inside, this is what their standard kit would look like. Now, the final retail kit is going to look differently. They're still working on the packaging. They're still working on, there are definitely some prototype aspects to the kit that they sent me.
Yeah.
But let's go over some of the basics. First of all, let's remove all the lens cover.
The safety tape.
Oh, the safety tape. We live life dangerously here on know-how. So I've got two cameras. That with lenses that give me a complete 360 surround.
Cool.
Yeah, and the idea is I can plug this directly into the micro USB port, the OTG port on my phone, or if I've got a phone with USB-C, they've actually included an adapter for that as well.
Okay, I was going to say, because I have the Nexus 6P, and I won't be able to use it.
USB-C, how about
nice.
That?
Nice.
Okay. They've also, and really, this is the one I really like, because this is attention to what people need.
Mm-hmm.
They have this. This is the Li-Fi Link, I believe is what they call it, which allows you to set your phone like down on a coffee table. Hold on, let me get in here.
That's the nice thing about USB-C.
Yeah, it's reversible.
Get it right the first time.
And I can connect it and then place this where I want it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I wanted to do this with
that
Periscope.
That is so smart. Yeah, that's true. Like, you just put it in the middle of the table and you can angle it the way you
precisely.
Want.
Precisely. And now the application is still developing. Uh-huh. This is going to be a Kickstarter that they're launching it on October 10th.
Oh, okay.
So this is not even launched yet. This
wow.
is definitely not available. They even sent me a Galaxy. Almost dropped that one. A Galaxy S7, so I could play with it.
Nice.
They asked me what phone I had, and I'm like, that's kind of slow. Yeah, use this. It's you, a little bit better.
Because your daily is the OnePlus 3 or OnePlus 2?
OnePlus 1.
OnePlus 1.
I have the original.
Oh, OG.
Okay, I'm OG. Okay. So what you can do with this is I'm going to use – actually, you know what? No, we have to use this because we're going to have a weird angle here in just a second.
Right.
So I'm going to plug that in.
Okay.
Turn on my phone. Hello.
And so they've got the app installed on
right.
there.
Right. They pre-installed the app for me. Of course, the app will be available for free. And so then I just start up. Do-do-do. And yes, go ahead and use it. And after a second, it's going to turn on the camera.
Attached.
And what it's going to do is it's going to do that. Okay, hold on.
This is still prototype.
That didn't happen yesterday.
And we're on the know-how set, so there's a tendency for projects to go haywire.
There we go, okay.
Okay.
So this super distorted view that you're seeing right now is actually what it looks like in 360.
I see. And then the software can probably...
I just hit the back button. Okay, this is the problem with having a really slippery phone, folks. Get regular phones. Oh.
You've gotten too used to your one.
There we go. Wait. Side view. Ah, side view is better. There you go.
Whoa.
So all the way around the camera.
Yeah, you can see both of us.
It's actually really good. I mean, the resolution is really good. Here's a couple of things that they're going to include in this. They are going to give you a lifey view, which is how you're going to be broadcasting. They're going to be setting this up so you can go directly to YouTube. So if you wanted to do YouTube 360, you could do that.
Oh, totally.
If you wanted to do Facebook 360, it's a one-touch upload. They also, of course, they give you that USB Type 2 to Type C connector so that you can hook this up to more advanced cameras.
Right.
And they're going to be improving the software as they go. Essentially what they wanted to get this out in the hand of geeks as fast as possible.
And see how they use it.
And look, for me, the thing I'm going to suggest is you got to make a connector for this in Periscope, because just the ability to position the camera where I want it rather than where it's sticking up off the bottom of the phone.
Yeah.
I'm so down with that.
I'm so happy
with that.
My favorite part is this, too. Because it makes sense.
So simple, and yet, yeah, why haven't more manufacturers given me that option?
And it makes it look like your phone has a little tail, too. But I could totally see us setting this up here on Know How while we do a show and just live stream it to something.
Let it go. Yeah, just let it go. And, it's such a good idea because there have been some other cameras. Leo is really big on the Ricoh.
The Theta S.
Not that thing. And which is nice, but it's a little bit expensive.
Right.
Mostly because it has to build in all of its own electronics. This is leveraging the electronics of your phone. So
yeah.
The screen and the battery and the processor. And all it has to worry about is making sure that you've got a really nice way to get 360 images.
Yeah.
They're also including software so that you can take 360 photos and then translate them into 2D.
Right. So it will warp it so it looks flat.
So it actually looks normal, which is important because if you've got friends and family who want to see your latest vacation pic, but they don't have a 3D viewer.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, it will work with Google Cardboard.
Oh, okay.
Any of these others.
Any VR thing.
They're doing it all the same now because they want their products to be interoperable. At least the good companies want their products to be interoperable. So this is something that you could take on vacation or something that you could have deployed in a studio just as easily in either case. And, get yourself a little bit of that 360. Now, the price is where I kind of went, wait, what? So the retail price on this is going to be $140,
okay,
which is already good. But they're going to be launching their Kickstarter, and we're gonna have to back edit this because they don't have their Kickstarter up yet. We'll try to drop it into the notes when they actually do have their Kickstarter up. The early backers are going to get it for $110, and then those who come in a bit later get it for $120.
Yeah.
So for about $100, you get yourself a really good 360 experience that is comparable to some of the products that I've seen sell for $400 and $500.
Right, and it's hooked into your phone already, so you can share and to wherever you want and publish. That's pretty cool. And as far as a Kickstarter, I've been a little skeptical about backing most of the projects that I've seen.
I used to have a really bad record.
Yeah, I was I think I've backed two things, and neither of them have come at all.
I backed four. And I was batting 500. I was 50-50. But then 2 weeks ago, the other two things came in.
Yeah, the screen.
A year late.
Screens came in.
Right. Yeah. And they actually work really well. So
yeah,
this gives me hope, though.
If they're this far along and they're doing their Kickstarter, then I imagine it's not going to be too difficult to actually produce something to people.
Precisely. I mean, this is a Santa Clara company, so it's local. It's here in California.
Oh,
and
cool.
Unlike a lot of other Kickstarters that are sort of here's a concept, and give us money and we'll develop it. There's no, they've developed it. They have a product. I'm holding it in my hands right now. And what they're looking for is okay, well, how popular is this going to be? This, I think, is really where Kickstarter should be. It's we've already done the R&D, so we're not going to use your money for R&D. We're going to use your money for manufacturing, which is what you should be doing.
To build, a base. Yeah, definitely.
And so if you're looking for a good 360 experience, check this out. Again, this is the Lifey. They really got to stop doing that with cutesy names.
Lifey.
It's built by eCapture Technologies in Santa Clara, California. And I'm going to be taking this one to Rome because I think Rome is a good place to do 360.
Definitely. Oh, and you can charge it with your solar panel.
Completely off the grid, right? But in 360.
You'll never even have to turn it off because you just plug in the solar panel into the phone and then just
I wasn't going to turn it off anyways. I'm just going to be broadcasting 24/7, Brian. I won't have any bad.
It won't be very interesting, but yeah.
It's me broadcasting to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, look, I'm in 360.
I'm having fun.
My hands, they're so huge.
They can touch everything.
But themselves.
Oh.
Never mind. Folks, when we come back, we're going to be getting away from the prototype Lifey camera here. Mm-hmm. And instead, we're going to be talking a little bit about headphones. We had Patrick Norden in the studio not too long ago, and he gave us some of his picks for upcoming headphone technology. But before we do that, hey, Brian, I need your help on this.
What's that?
Do you know there's a product, a company that I actually believe in, a company that I bought their product before they became a sponsor of Twit TV because I was a little concerned about my parents?
Right. I know exactly what you're talking about because I've been to your parents' house. Mm-hmm. And
you've seen it.
Yeah. They saw me on the camera and they're like, no, we don't want him in our house.
Yeah. That was actually the prime example of when you want one of these because you need to know who's coming
into
your home. Is when
unwelcome visitors stop by asking for food.
Well, folks, of course, I am talking about the Ring Video Doorbell. It is the best way to turn your house into a smart home. Now, this is the kit that you're going to get. And inside of it, you're going to find the Ring Video Doorbell. You're going to find all the tools that you need to install it. This thing will tie into your house power. It will also be charged off of a 1 year worth of lithium ion power, just with a little micro USB charge every once in a while. And with that power, what this will do is give you the ability to see who is coming to your door, to find out who is ringing your bell, to have a two-way conversation with anyone who may want to find out if you're home. Now, I mentioned, Brian, that I got this from my parents. And the reason why I got it from my parents is they live in a place that, well, it's seen an increase in crime because there's a lot of elderly folk, a lot of retired folk in that area.
Yeah.
And people will come to the door, they'll ring the doorbell, they'll look at the windows, and if they see no motion, they assume you're not home and it's okay to burglarize you.
Right. It's almost more necessary to have something like this if you live in a nice area.
It is.
Because during the day when you're at work, that's when people will come and try and scope out the area.
Now imagine if someone comes to the door and they ring the bell and then you start talking to them. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that you can see them. Well, it's going to deter anyone who might want to break in. They don't know if you're in the house or not. That's exactly what you get with the Ring Video Doorbell. A two-way conversation, the ability to see them with the HD camera, to hear them with the built-in microphone, and then to speak to them with a speaker. It's the best way to be home, even when you're not home. And now Ring is using their advanced motion detection technology to protect your entire property with their new Ring of Security Kits. These kits include a Ring Video Doorbell and may include a stick-up cam, solar panel, chime, and a solar security sign. The Pro kits include a slim Video Doorbell Pro with crystal clear 1080p video and night vision. It's hardwired. It's designed to be connected to power, so it never needs to be charged. The wireless and weatherproof HD stick-up cam keeps an eye on other parts of your property, not just the doors, and allows you to hear and speak to visitors with two-way talk. You could plug the chime into any standard power outlet to know when you have a visitor, even if your phone is in another room. And the illuminated solar security sign deters intruders before they get to your door. It's sort of a way of saying, hey, this house is protected. It's not the lowest hanging fruit. Why don't you go ahead and move on, mister? Now, the Ring Video Doorbell and Stick-Up Cam install in just minutes. My dad was able to install this in 5 minutes. Working together, that kit can provide 24/7 monitoring of your entire home, whether you're in the living room or thousands of miles away. Folks, I trust the Ring Video Doorbell with my parents, and I know that you're going to like it too. In fact, I've got the Ring Video Doorbell, the interface right here on my phone. It will show me when people came to the door and nobody answered. It will show me when people came to the door and we did answer, and it will even play us back the video of that event. It will say, hey, you know what, at this time, at such and such a place, this person came and left a package on your door, or this person was lingering around that window. In fact, that window right there that you see, that's the one where when someone tried to break in, that's the window they went for. Well, we can see it. It's motion detected. And smile, because you're on Candid Camera. If you want to protect your home, if you want to protect your belongings, if you want to protect your loved ones, folks, you got to try the Ring Video Doorbell. Homeowners who protect their home with Ring. For a limited time, Know How listeners can get up to $150 off of one of the Ring of Security kits. Just go to ring.com/knowhow. That's ring.com/knowhow. And we thank Ring for their support of Know How. Okay, Brian, so headphones. We're big fans of headphones. I want to get this out of the way. My personal favorite right now is the AT, the Audio-Technica A7R. That's my monitor headset. But I also have another headset, and I share it with you.
Yes.
We've got the Kingston, the Cloud series. So the Cloud 2, the Cloud Revolver, the Cloud 2 Revolver. These are sexy, sexy headsets.
Because, you know, headphones can look, well, I don't know if they look sexy.
No, I'm looking sexy.
Yeah.
I definitely got some sense going on here.
But I like these headphones so much. I use them for my PC. I use them when I'm editing. I use them when I'm playing video games. Like, they are so much nicer than the old headphones that I was using that I probably play video games more now than I did because it started hurting my ears when I was had the old Xbox headset on.
Well, I mean, that for me, most of these headphones are going to sound the same. I don't have the audiophile ear. I can't tell the difference between like a $7,000 set of headphones and a $400 set. But for me, it comes down to comfort.
Yeah.
And this is the video editor in me. If I can't have these on my ears for 10 hours a day, they're not going to work. I can't be at the end of the day and have my earlobes screaming because, you know, the over ear was actually on ear.
Exactly, yeah.
And what I like about the series, and this, I'm actually, the Revolver is nice, but I'm really into the Cloud 2, this one. This just feels
good. That, yeah. See, just, I don't, those are my favorite.
It's like butter on your head.
It is. And then it's just super easy to plug into my PC and have 7.1 on them. They sound so good when playing games.
And it's nice to be able to have a competent headset that is also a gaming headset with just the addition of a removable microphone. And that does make a difference, by the way.
It does, yeah.
Not just tilting it out of the way, but actually removing it, putting it back in the bag. So you do kind of have a cross-purpose headset.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, for example, last night I was recording my review for this, and I just was sitting at my PC, so I pulled out the headphone jack on the headset and recorded on my PC. And then as soon as I was done with that, you know, skip over to the Xbox, plug the headphone, the microphone back in, and then I was able to chat on my Xbox. So.
All right. Now, the HyperX Cloud 2, that's these are going to go for under $100. In fact, Alex, I think we've got a link there. They're always updating their pricing. I think it's still about $90 or so. Yeah, it's about $90. These are really nice. I find these particularly comfortable. I think the sound might actually be a tiny bit better on the HyperX Cloud Revolver. Alex, we've got a link for this one as well. And you know, again, it's going to depend on how big your ears are and what kind of sound you're looking for. But if you want to get a headset that's equally comfortable doing gaming or video editing,
this is nice.
This is pretty good.
I like this. This feels pretty good. I haven't tried these yet.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, this is just what we think. I'm thinking we should probably go to a professional, someone who does audio reviews and news often. So we had our very own Patrick Norton come in and tell us what he thought represented the state of the headphone art.
These are the monoprice 8323s. These are $16. These are over the ear.
So for $16, I'm not expecting super broadband, high fidelity audio.
You're not going to buy something better until you spend about $50 or $75.
Okay, so this is a nice price break.
It's a nice price break, and it's actually, they have a removable cable. Okay. So if you're the kind of person that tears apart cables, you can pop in a new cable. And they sound shockingly good. They are not going to sound, probably to most people, as good as my next step up, which is the Sony MDR-7506. And these are kind of like a standard studio headphone. There's probably a pair of these behind the desk here. They're incredibly common in recording studios. They are fundamentally indestructible, and they have fantastic audio from the low end to the high end. And these are kind of a traditional, you can kind of see it inside of there. There's a Mylar speaker inside of there. And that's not bad. It's pretty good. And for $75, you're not going to get much better audio until you spend about $300. And that's where things get really interesting, because in the last couple of years, there's been a resurgence of what they call planar magnetic or ortho diagonal, or what do they say, ortho...
It's got a lot of syllables, so it must be good.
It must be good. Hi-Fi Man's kind of led the charge in this. Odyssey's another one, Fostex. And instead of having a speaker inside of there, you've got two sets of magnets with holes in them. You can just kind of see the magnets there. And then behind that is an incredibly thin piece of plastic material. And if you can see those lines on there, that's actually conductive material. So instead of having a speaker that goes back and forth, what happens is there's magnets on either side, and they run the audio signal through those marks on the surface, the conductors on the surface of the plastic, and it creates this big wall of sound. that moves towards
you. So it's not a driver inside of a headphone cup. The headphone cup is the driver.
The driver, essentially. And that's, this has been, this is, in the last couple of years, especially Hi-Fi Man has made huge inroads. The Fostex T50 RP Mark III's are another huge one. The previous version of the Mark II's were legendary in sort of audio geek communities because people would mod them to get better sound. You know, this is like $300. They're a little heavy for most people, but
I like the fact that the cups actually go around my ears and not on to my ears, because I know that that's fatigue for me. That
do me a favor. Turn to the side really quickly. This is an example of an open-backed headphone, right? And there's kind of two different versions of headphones out there. There's open-back and there's closed-back. And a closed-back is obviously sealed, and that's going to block noise from the outside. An open headphone is obviously not only going to let noise from the outside in, but it's going to let your music out so everybody in the office knows you're listening to Britney Spears, which may or may not be emotionally embarrassing. And that's kind of important because while there are a lot of sealed headphones that can sound big and airy and spacious, the general rule of thumb is that you need an open headphone or some kind of semi-open back headphone to get the full, the best audio experience. We should talk about Sennheiser's Momentum. These sell for about $200 new now.
Yes.
This is an amazing headphone. These started out at about $350. They now offer us the Momentum 2 is another headphone out from this series that I think is very similar. The Momentum 2 has a slightly bigger ear cup. This is a fantastic sounding headphone for $200. If you want a more luxurious headphone, these are the, pardon me, B&W P7. These sell for $350. This is one of the best headphones you can buy for the money. And it's like strapping a BMW to your head. You know, as you start spending more, they get more luxurious. You get more stuff in the box. Two last ones to talk about. We talked about the Hi-Fi Man, the current version of these that are about $300, the HE400. Two of the most fascinating headphones I've seen this year. These are Odyssey Signs. And these are kind of a really interesting because...
You're cradling them there.
Well, because they're about $600.
Okay, yeah.
If I drop them, I'm going to have to pay for them. Again, they have the sort of luxurious, I've strapped a BMW to my head. But these are interesting because they're planar magnetics, but they're sealed, which is a little more unusual. So you can get the planar magnetic experience. These sound pretty amazing. They're a little uncomfortable for me because these sit more on my ears than around them because my ears are huge. But my personal favorite headphones right now, these are a painful $600, which is nothing. By the way, a lot of people like the best headphones in the world right now. They came out from Focal. They're the Utopia. They're $4,000. I can pretty much stop speaking there because you're probably not going to buy them. But these are pretty amazing. A lot of people think these sound like headphones that should cost a lot more money. These are AudioQuest Nighthawks, and these are what I'm doing most of my listening with right now. These are dynamic. They have a speaker inside of them. And they're interesting because they made some design decisions when they engineered them where it's not quite, you know, one of the things that people are like, oh, the planar magnetics have the most brilliant and sparkling highs. And while brilliant and sparkling may be what audiophiles want, it may not be actually be how audio sounds like in the real world. And these sound very natural. Now, some audiophiles be like, well, they sound muddy. I think they sound amazing. And they have one of the most, you know, it's one of those things where I put these on and my head starts shaking. And 4 hours later, I realize I was supposed to take out the garbage, do the dishes, walk the dog, and actually write a segment. And then I put these down and go do all the things I was supposed to do. So these are AudioQuest Nighthawks. They sell for about $600. The best thing about headphones right now is there are more awesome headphones for less money than there have ever been before, right? And it's really, really great. But if I took two people and I put these Hi-Fi Man HE400s on them, the AudioQuest Nighthawks, there would probably be two very, very different reactions. You know, my wife actually prefers these because, you know, she finds them less fatiguing. It's not as bright. It's not as in her face. A lot of people listen to these and they're like, I can hear every... I think someone in the third row of the orchestra just adjusted their hairband. This is amazing, right? And at some level, it gets a little ridiculous when you, especially if you start hanging out with audio enthusiasts and they talk about what they're searching for.
And we love tech and we love specs. And I love the fact that this is continuing to develop at the pace where we can now get a very decent set for next to no money at all.
Yeah, 16 bucks.
And ultimately, though, it's going to come down to, well, what works for you? What's comfortable for you? What sounds good to you?
If you can, get to a place that has a bunch of headphones. For example, the big blue and yellow label.
Best Buy,
especially if they have one of the Magnolia Centers inside of them, they have a ton of headphones you can listen to. You know, I will say the mono prices, you're not going to get much better than this for the money. And if you have teenagers that destroy things or you are a teenager that destroys things, mono price 8323s are great to go. Their earbuds suck. Sony MDR7506s are impossible to, you can try to kill them, but it takes effort.
No, we've had versions of that that have been around for 20 years.
Yeah, and are still going strong, probably on their second, third set of ear pads. The Audio Technicas you have, those are a fantastic deal.
M50s, 7Rs.
You don't need to spend thousands. You may find you want to, but for under $100, you can get some amazing.
I love the fact that there are so many headphones I can choose from that are all competent, that feel good, and, you know, they're not nearly as expensive as they used to be for the super high-end.
Yeah, and the nice thing is that it comes down to personal preference. Like, what are you going to be using them for? What do you like? Headphones that go over your ear? Do you like headphones that rest on your ear? And then there's the wide range of your budget.
Wide range of the budget. And especially the choice between closed and open. I prefer open. Mm-hmm. I really like that airy feel. I kind of like sort of the expansive sound that you get.
Right.
But I understand people who like closed. And actually, when I travel, it's always closed because I want a little bit of noise cancellation.
Exactly.
Don't really get that with open.
Yeah, definitely. I think it shows that you can get a certain level of like quality of audio without having to pay a lot. And then after that, you have to be not more into it, but like an audiophile to really notice the differences then.
Right.
But that's part of the reason why I have such issues with like Beats headphones, which I noticed there weren't any on the table.
No.
Yeah.
No. So the people who are serious about headphones, and I'm not talking just about audiophiles. I'm talking about people who are like, I've tried like 15 different ones. I never see Beats. Beats are known for style. They're known for a lot of things. They're not known for, you know, good audio quality. It's all super heavy on the bass. Very cheap construction.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. The first time I got a Beats unit for review, because they were very stingy with those, I sent it back without the review. I'm like, is this really the one you
is
want me to...
Is this the one you...
This feels like a plastic shrinky dink. What are you doing here?
Yeah, it shows that there's not much that like really went into it. So.
No.
Anyway.
But hey, it's the brand. Folks, if you want to do good headphones, though, listen to Patrick Norton.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself one of the ones he had in his list. If you're on a bit more of a budget, try one of the ones that we suggested. The Kingstons are fantastic.
Especially if you're a gamer.
Yes. Or, you know, if you're like a pure business type person, my personal favorites are still the Audio Technicas. They don't have the sound as like the $600 ones, but for $50 all the way up to about $200+, you could get yourself something like the Audio Technica M50s, which are fantastic, and they're comfortable. They're the all-day comfort ones.
Yeah.
Or the gold standard for me, of all the ones I've tried, even the super high-end ones, is the Audio Technica A7Rs. Those just,
they're beautiful, huh?
They're beautiful. They're stylish. It almost feels like they're not on your head.
And that's exactly how well what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, folks, this is our last back-to-school episode. We do have sort of a back-to-school theme thing coming up, but it's network back-to-school. So if you want to see what you should be buying so that you can protect yourself in your dorm or perhaps do a little bit of security research, you're going to want to stay tabbed to Know How. By the way, Brian, we should probably mention this is the last Know How we're going to have that's semi-live for a while.
What's happening?
Well, you know, we may have recorded about 6 weeks worth of know-hows because I'm going away. So I'm the bad person here.
It's all a blur right
it
now.
It is kind of a blur.
Like, I'm not even... When is this episode going?
I don't know.
But yeah, you'll be gone for a whole month.
I'll be gone for a month. I got to do a little Rome thing, a little church thing.
Go roaming.
Go. You're going to make roaming charges jokes when I'm gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, folks, we understand that this was a lot of information. We want to make it very easy for you to follow our back-to-school guide. We've got all the links for all the products we talked about. We're going to make sure that the Kickstarter for the Life EI gets in there.
Yep.
So in case you want to back it and get yourself a little 360 camera for not that much money, you can find it in our show notes, which are where, Brian?
twit.tv/KH. And not only will you find the show notes and the links to all the headphones and everything we talked about today, you'll find handy ways to subscribe to the video and also to download.
Indeed. And also don't forget that we've got a Google Plus group. Just go to Google Plus, look for Know How, ask to join. We'll approve you as soon as we possibly can. We have that because we need to keep out the spam accounts. But once you're in there, it's over 10,000, almost 11,000 Kitas, know-it-alls.
Wow.
These are makers, builders, DIYers in all stages of their journeys. We've got experts who can help you with problems. If you're an expert, maybe you can come in and share your knowledge. And if you're brand new to the game, it's a great place to see what other peoples have been doing.
The hive mind.
The hive mind. See what the hive mind is at, and maybe you can pick up a project.
That's right. But socially, if you want to get a hold of us, you know, you want to send us a tweet, maybe. That's you want to see what corgi picture of the day that we've been looking at. You want to follow us on Twitter. I'm at @cranky_hippo.
And you're going to find me at PadreSJ. And you'll find our director at... That's a funny word. Director.
Mr. Halex Grumple.
Grumple. You're going to find him at A-N-E-L-F.
He's actually a lot closer to us than he used to
like
be.
He's within striking range.
Stop!
This is how this works, folks. Until next time, I am Father Robert Palliser.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how,
go back to class.